Have you ever noticed how a minute can feel like an eternity when you're waiting for test results, yet hours fly by when you're engrossed in conversation with a close friend? This isn't just your imagination. It's the fascinating reality of how our brains process time. Mark Whitman's Felt Time takes us on an illuminating journey through the science of temporal perception, revealing how our experience of time shapes everything from our decision-making to our sense of self. The book has garnered praise from neuroscientists and philosophers alike, with Oliver Sacks calling it a profound exploration of our relationship with time. As mindfulness practices gain popularity in our hyper-connected world, Whitman's research offers scientific validation for what contemplative traditions have taught for centuries. Our relationship with time fundamentally shapes our quality of life and sense of meaning. Imagine a 4-year-old sitting alone in a room with a marshmallow. The researcher has just explained the rules: eat it now or wait 15 minutes and receive 2 marshmallows instead. Some children devour the treat immediately, while others display remarkable ingenuity in their waiting strategies, singing songs, playing with their shoelaces, covering their eyes, turning away from the marshmallow, or even pretending the marshmallow isn't there. This famous experiment, conducted by Walter Mischel at Stanford University in the 1960s and 70s, revealed something remarkable. The children who successfully delayed gratification performed better academically, scored higher on standardized tests, and showed superior social skills when assessed years later. They even maintained healthier body mass indexes and reported higher life satisfaction in adulthood. This capacity to wait, to forego immediate pleasure for greater future rewards, represents a uniquely human ability that shapes countless aspects of our lives. While animals like pigeons and monkeys can delay gratification only briefly, sometimes for mere seconds, humans can integrate waiting periods into complex decision-making processes spanning years or even decades. We contribute to retirement accounts, sacrificing immediate use of money for security decades later. We invest years in education, foregoing immediate income for greater earning potential later. We maintain exercise routines, trading immediate comfort for long-term health benefits. Cultural achievements fundamentally depend on this principle. Writing a book requires giving up evenings and weekends. Artists spend years perfecting their craft, and scientists conduct lengthy experiments, all trading immediate pleasures for greater long-term returns. Yet we all display some degree of temporal myopia, the tendency to choose lesser immediate rewards over greater delayed ones. This phenomenon manifests in fascinating ways across different contexts. When offered $50 in a week versus $1 now, most choose to wait. But when offered $45 immediately versus $50 later, many take the immediate sum, even though the relative difference is identical. This creates a hyperbolic function. As waiting time increases, the acceptable immediate payment decreases, with sharper drops between short intervals than between longer ones. We perceive the difference between today and tomorrow more acutely than between days further in the future. This explains why people often break diets just for today, promising to restart tomorrow, or why procrastinators repeatedly delay tasks by just one more day. Natural temporal borders powerfully influence these decisions in ways we're only beginning to understand. The sleep-wake cycle creates fundamental boundaries. Today exists between rest phases, making everything within it feel closer and more immediate. Our physiology follows intricate circadian rhythms, synchronized by light exposure, making each calendar day a fresh cycle. These astronomical cycles structure both biological processes and human experience, explaining why rewards today feel vastly more appealing than identical rewards tomorrow. Research shows that people are more likely to start new habits on temporal boundaries, like Mondays, the first of the month, or New Year's Day, demonstrating how deeply these cycles affect our decision-making. Present orientation isn't inherently negative. Psychologist Philip Zimbardo's extensive research shows it's essential for quality of life and emotional well-being. People trapped in constant future planning often sacrifice experiencing the present moment fully, missing out on joy, spontaneity, and meaningful connections. Time that is truly felt consists of moments of fulfillment, often shared with good friends or partners, creating memories that give life its richness. Someone truly free and full of life has mastered the delicate balance, knowing when to seek immediate enjoyment and when to wait for greater rewards, understanding that both immediate and delayed gratification have their place in a well-lived life. Does each person possess a personal speed distinguishing quick thinkers from slow ones? For decades, researchers have sought the key to the brain's mysterious temporal rhythm. Cognitive psychologists measure individuals' temporal order threshold, the minimum interval needed to correctly identify the sequence of two stimuli, such as two flashing lights or consecutive sounds. This typically ranges between 20 to 60 milliseconds in young adults, with older individuals showing elevated thresholds that can extend beyond 100 milliseconds. While intelligence correlates with lower order thresholds, this connection is relatively slight, only about 10% of observed differences traced to IQ, suggesting that processing speed and intelligence are largely independent characteristics. Brain researcher Ernst Poppel hypothesizes that neural oscillations, occurring roughly 30-40 times per second, create a fundamental processing state determining which incoming data count as temporal phenomena. All information processed within approximately 30 milliseconds is experienced as simultaneous, with this rhythm evident in both perception and motor response tests. This temporal integration window appears across various sensory modalities, from visual to auditory processing. Patients with damage to the left temporal and parietal lobes show significantly higher temporal order thresholds, often requiring intervals of 100 milliseconds or more between stimuli to identify their sequence. This connection between temporal sequence recognition and language processing explains why aphasia patients struggle to distinguish between consonants, which require processing sound sequences occurring within milliseconds. For instance, differentiating between ba and da requires precise temporal processing of sounds occurring within 40 millisecond windows. In dangerous situations, people often report experiencing events in slow motion, a phenomenon known as temporal dilation. David Eagleman's research team tested whether this slow motion effect actually occurs during danger by measuring subjects' temporal resolution thresholds before and during a frightening freefall experience. When subjects wore a specialized perceptual chronometer that flashed alternating lights at increasing frequencies during a 31-meter freefall, they still couldn't perceive numbers at frequencies beyond their normal threshold of about 30 milliseconds. This suggests the brain doesn't actually process information faster during dangerous situations. Instead, the experience is retrospectively perceived as having lasted longer than it actually did, likely due to the density of memories formed during intense emotional states. Laboratory tests have shown that threatening stimuli are subject to systematic overvaluation. Images appearing to move toward observers are assessed as lasting 20-30% longer than moving away. Emotionally charged images, whether positive or negative, are perceived to last longer than neutral ones, with fearful faces being judged as lasting up to 50% longer than neutral expressions. The search for brain areas responsible for subjective time experience continues, with researchers exploring the roles of the insula, anterior cingulate cortex, and other regions through advanced neuroimaging techniques. Modern experiments utilize virtual reality and other immersive technologies to simulate threatening situations in laboratory settings, allowing for more precise measurement of temporal perception under controlled conditions. Consciousness research has gained scientific legitimacy over the past 20 years, moving from an esoteric pursuit to a mainstream scientific endeavor. Mindfulness meditation, concentrating on the present moment while observing thoughts and feelings without evaluation, has emerged as a valuable therapeutic approach. Though seemingly simple, maintaining this focus proves challenging as thoughts constantly wander to past memories or future plans. Jon Kabat-Zinn developed mindfulness-based stress reduction based on Buddhist techniques, helping patients manage symptoms through acceptance. Research confirms mindfulness training strengthens attention control, enhances acceptance of one's situation, and reduces disproportionate emotional reactions. Studies demonstrate its effectiveness in pain acceptance, stress prevention, reducing aging effects on intellectual performance, and decreasing withdrawal symptoms during smoking cessation. But what constitutes a present moment? Contemporary philosophers following Edmund Husserl suggest that the now includes elements of what has just passed and what's about to occur. When hearing "Hey" in the Beatles song "Hey Jude," listeners already anticipate Jude before it's voiced, while "Hey" remains present even after its sound waves have dissipated. Ernst Poppel's analyses reveal that temporal units lasting approximately 3 seconds occurred universally in music and poetry across cultures. This is the maximum duration of spoken units in poems or songs, as exemplified in Beethoven's Fifth Symphony's famous motif. This 3-second rhythm expresses a fundamental cerebral mechanism structuring perception and action into discrete units of now. While poets and composers don't explicitly know about this 3-second processing window, their aesthetic sensibility has naturally divided artistic works into segments matching this neurophysiological parameter. Working memory bridges these momentary experiences, connecting several 3-second units into a greater whole that maintains our sense of an enduring self. Patients with anterograde amnesia demonstrate the distinction between momentary experience and autobiographical continuity. They function normally within the temporal framework of working memory, but cannot transfer these experiences into long-term memory, living on a temporal island extending only minutes. Our modern inability to live in the present stems partly from constant technological interruption. We've normalized divided attention, eating while watching TV, listening to music while jogging, typing while on phone calls. This fragmentation makes intensive experience impossible because full attention is lacking. True presence occurs when body and mind, space and time, constitute a unity in the here and now. The 14th century Carthusian monk Hugh of Bama offered simple meditation advice. When asked what one should think about if not allowed to contemplate God or angels, he answered, "Just breathe, not think." By concentrating on breathing, we can achieve receptive states conducive to deeper experience. It's no coincidence that a single relaxed breath lasts approximately 3 seconds, precisely the duration of a moment of lived experience. Our perception of time reveals our emotional state, passing slowly during boredom or anticipation, quickly during enjoyment. Morgenstern's poem Time captures this perfectly. When we pay attention to time, it moves slowly, like an obedient sheep. When distracted, it races, like a puma. The flow state, extensively researched by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, represents a special temporal experience where hours feel like minutes. This euphoric state occurs when someone in complete concentration pursues a challenging activity matching their skill level. During flow, time is disregarded entirely, and we're surprised to discover how much has passed when we emerge. Despite 150 years of research, there's still no consensus on how we perceive temporal duration. Michel Traceman proposed a pacemaker counter model in 1963. Pulses emitted at regular intervals are collected, with the count defining subjective duration. Later revisions added attention as a component. We only register impulses when attending to time, explaining why waiting feels longer than being engaged in activities. Hudson Hoagland discovered this when his feverish wife overestimated time due to heightened physiological activity. Her internal clock ran faster. Our time assessments vary widely, from seconds to minutes, but durations up to 3 seconds can be estimated accurately. Beyond that, larger deviations emerge. This 3-second window represents our period of optimal presence, our now, where perception and activity operate best. Paul Frais distinguished between time perception, durations up to 3 seconds processed as a whole, and time estimation, longer durations assessed through memory. While researchers haven't found an internal clock for seconds to minutes perception, organisms possess a 24-hour circadian clock regulating physiology and behavior. Jürgen Aschoff's bunker experiments showed these rhythms persist without environmental cues, though subjects' days stretched to about 25 hours and bodily rhythms became desynchronized. Under normal conditions, light synchronizes our body's many clocks through the suprachiasmatic nucleus, becoming apparent during jet lag, when our internal clock remains set to home while we adjust to a new time zone. Circadian rhythms vary between individuals, across a spectrum from early rising larks to late rising owls. This creates problems for late risers in a society calibrated to early risers, causing what chronobiologist Till Ronenberg calls social jet lag, a desynchronization between inner clocks and social structures. The problem is especially severe for adolescents, who are biologically programmed as extreme late risers until about age 20. Studies show that starting school later resulted in students being less sleepy, more alert, less depressed, and achieving better grades. Studies of retirement home residents reveal a fascinating temporal paradox. While their daily time often crawls by, prospective time, with hours feeling longer due to monotonous routines and limited activities, they simultaneously report that years seem to fly past at an accelerating rate, retrospective time. This phenomenon is particularly pronounced in structured environments like retirement homes, where daily schedules remain largely unchanged. Researchers have documented residents experiencing afternoons that seem endless, yet expressing shock at how quickly months and years accumulate, highlighting the critical importance of distinguishing between these two types of temporal experience. The acceleration of subjective time with age is deeply rooted in psychological development patterns. Childhood and youth overflow with novel experiences. First day of school, first kiss, first job interview, learning to drive, graduating, each milestone forming distinct memory markers. In contrast, adulthood often brings increasing routine and predictability. 3 years of childhood represent enormous developmental leaps in physical growth, cognitive ability, and social understanding, while 3 adult years might consist largely of repetitive work patterns and established routines. The brain, efficiently designed, doesn't store duplicate memories of similar experiences, leading to fewer distinct memory contents and consequently shortened subjective duration of life periods. Emotions serve as powerful memory amplifiers, with research showing that events charged with strong feelings receive more detailed and lasting recollection. Whether positive, weddings, achievements, travels, or negative, losses, challenges, conflicts, emotionally significant experiences create deeper neural pathways. The greater one's repository of emotionally colored, varied experiences, the longer one's subjective lifetime feels in retrospect. To counteract time acceleration, individuals might deliberately seek novel, emotionally meaningful experiences. Learning new skills, visiting unfamiliar places, forming new relationships. However, even the most active people eventually encounter the law of diminishing returns, as truly first-time experiences become increasingly rare with age. Research conducted across multiple age groups shows that fear of death, particularly in older women, strongly correlates with an enhanced sense of time slipping away. This suggests that an abbreviated future perspective serves as a psychological accelerator for subjective time. Life-altering events like serious illness, job loss, or personal crisis can suddenly compress anyone's temporal perspective, reducing planning horizons from years to mere weeks or months. People experiencing shortened time horizons typically demonstrate a marked shift in priorities, focusing more on emotional connections with friends and family rather than career advancement or solitary pursuits. Seneca, the Roman Stoic philosopher, addressed this temporal phenomenon in his seminal work On the Shortness of Life, arguing that our fundamental problem isn't insufficient time, but rather its wasteful usage. Life is long enough, and a sufficiently generous amount has been given to us for the highest achievements if it were all well invested, he wrote, challenging the common complaint of life's brevity. Born in first-century Spain, this influential thinker particularly criticized those who postpone authentic living until retirement, noting how late it is to begin really to live just when life must end. Modern memory psychology validates his ancient wisdom. Living a varied, emotionally rich life creates more memorable markers, effectively extending our subjective experience of time lived. Self-consciousness represents nature becoming aware of itself, a starting point for both philosophical reflection and neuroscientific investigation. Antonio Damasio's groundbreaking research emphasizes interoception, inner perception, as providing stable self-awareness, demonstrating how our internal bodily sensations form the foundation of consciousness. The insular cortex processes bodily signals, integrating them with thinking and feeling in increasingly sophisticated ways. According to neuroscientist Bud Craig, these signals move from posterior to anterior parts of the insular cortex in a complex progression, culminating in what he calls the global emotional moment, our integrated sense of self in the present moment, which combines physical sensations, emotional states, and environmental awareness. The anterior insular cortex works in concert with the anterior cingulate cortex to maintain homeostasis, our body's sophisticated self-regulation system. When we feel thirst, hunger, or temperature changes, these brain regions translate physiological conditions into motivated actions. This process extends beyond basic needs to emotional and social regulation. Many psychiatric disorders like addiction, anxiety, and depression can be understood as disrupted homeostatic processes, where the gap between current and desired states becomes too wide, leading to compensatory behaviors and psychological distress. Boredom represents time's painful proximity when we become acutely aware of ourselves trapped in sluggish time. This uncomfortable self-awareness correlates with heightened activity in the anterior insular cortex, where physicality, emotionality, subjectivity, and temporality converge. Through boredom, nature achieves wholly unpleasant self-awareness, an intensified self-perception paradoxically accompanied by feelings of emptiness and disconnection. Research shows that chronic boredom can lead to depression, substance abuse, and risk-taking behaviors as people attempt to escape this heightened self-awareness. Modern society faces unprecedented acceleration in technology, life pace, and information processing. Social media, instant messaging, and constant connectivity create a state of continuous partial attention. The key to managing this isn't necessarily escaping, but developing strategic control over external demands. Studies consistently show that stress comes less from workload and more from lack of control, explaining why higher positions in workplace hierarchies often experience less stress despite greater responsibilities. This control factor has been demonstrated across various occupational settings and cultures. Several evidence-based practical approaches can help establish better temporal control. Taking deliberate breaks during workdays using techniques like the Pomodoro method, using travel time mindfully rather than filling it with distractions, maintaining strict boundaries between work and personal life through digital sunset practices, and dedicating time daily to a single focused activity or even just sitting quietly in meditation. Research indicates that even brief periods of mindful pause can reduce stress hormones and improve cognitive function. The goal isn't rigid time management, but developing a relaxed attitude toward life's demands through small, sustainable changes that enhance our sense of temporal autonomy and well-being. Research at the University of California, San Diego has revealed profound connections between time perception and the insular cortex, a brain region also implicated in emotional assessment and bodily awareness. In detailed fMRI studies, where subjects estimated tone durations ranging from milliseconds to several seconds, activity in the posterior insular lobe increased linearly with the duration of tones, peaking when each tone ended. This correlation was particularly strong in the right hemisphere, suggesting hemispheric specialization in temporal processing. This finding fundamentally challenges traditional views of time perception. Rather than having an autonomous clock in the brain dedicated to temporal perception, our sense of time appears to emerge from the complex integration of physiological signals arriving continuously in the brain. The feeling of duration corresponds to the quantity of bodily signals collected, suggesting that temporal perception is fundamentally based on the perception and integration of physical processes, from heartbeats to breathing cycles to metabolic changes. Further evidence comes from extensive research showing that bodily rhythms strongly correlate with time perception accuracy. As tones played, subjects' breathing rate and skin conductance diminished, with heart rate showing the clearest connection to time perception accuracy. The more pronounced the heartbeat decrease, the more precise the time estimation, with variations of up to 20% in accuracy between different physiological states. Additionally, people who could more accurately count their own heartbeats also reproduced time intervals more accurately, demonstrating up to 15% better performance in temporal estimation tasks. 19th-century philosopher Jean-Marie Guyot proposed that infants develop time perception through fundamental bodily needs. Hunger creates expectation and waiting until being fed. Similarly, crawling toward distant objects creates physical exertion and anticipation, forming early concepts of duration and future. This developmental perspective suggests that our earliest temporal experiences are intrinsically linked to physical sensations and motor activities, forming the foundation for later abstract time concepts. Temporal experience, self-consciousness, and perception of bodily states are inseparably linked in multiple ways. Studies show that emotional states dramatically affect time perception. Depressed or anxious patients typically overestimate durations by 30-40%. People experiencing fear perceive time as expanded, often reporting that seconds feel like minutes. And even social rejection leads to temporal overestimation, with excluded individuals overestimating durations by up to 25%. Interestingly, time expansion occurs both during intense physical excitement and extreme relaxation, particularly during meditation or isolation tank experiences. This apparent contradiction resolves when recognizing that both states heighten perception of bodily processes. When we attend closely to our body, whether through intense activity or mindful awareness of breath and heartbeat, time passes more slowly. Studies of experienced meditators show they can extend their perception of a single second by up to 50% through focused bodily awareness. Bodily presence creates awareness of time, functioning as our primary chronometer. Marina Abramovic's 2010 performance at MoMA, The Artist is Present, powerfully exemplified this relationship between time and embodiment. For 3 months, she sat motionless and silent for 7.5 hours daily, allowing visitors to sit opposite her. With her body as medium, defenseless, and constantly observed, Abramovic experienced pure embodiment, bringing her into intimate contact with the passage of time itself. Participants reported profound alterations in their temporal perception, with many describing the experience as existing outside of normal time, demonstrating how focused bodily presence can transform our experience of duration.